Colgate Tooth Powder's Theater of Romance brings you Ralph Bellamy in the comedy It Happened Tomorrow. Tonight and every Tuesday night, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you the Theater of Romance, featuring each week your favorite stars and favorite stories and plays, especially adapted for radio. And here is your host to tell you about tonight's presentation.
Good evening. Tonight we bring you as a New Year's gift one of the year's most unusual pictures, It Happened Tomorrow, starring Ralph Bellamy, the story of a young reporter in a strange adventure. The reporter, Larry Stevens, tells the story.
I'm afraid you'll find it hard to believe the following events. I myself have wondered about them for years, but I still find no explanation. If you think it over, life is full of things we can't explain. So I'm going to tell you what happened and let you judge for yourself. Near the end of the last century, I had my first job as a newspaper reporter and my first girl. I'd just met Sylvia, and I was crazy about her. I was pretty sure that she liked me. She'd come to town to do a mind-reading act at a local cafe with her uncle, who definitely did not like me. He was Sylvia's legal guardian, and she had to marry someone with a steady job and a bank account. On New Year's Eve, after everyone had gone, I was talking to Pop Benson about it. Pop Benson, a small, plump, gray-haired man who was always looking at life and people with friendly curiosity. I told Pop my troubles. I said, "Gee, Pop, if I could only get a scoop. You know what I'd like to have if I could have anything in the world? I'd like to have tomorrow's newspaper. Then I could scoop every paper in the world. Just think of it, Pop."
"Sounds like a mighty fine idea, Larry, but I don't think you'd really be happy if it happened to you."
"Pop, I'd give 10 years of my life for tomorrow's newspaper."
"Well, I wish I had the paper to give you. Might teach you a lesson. The only things that are worth having, Larry, are the things you work for and earn."
"Hey, look at that clock. It's almost midnight. I gotta go. I'm meeting Sylvia after the last show. See you later, Pop. If you come across a copy of tomorrow's paper, save it for me, will you?"
"I'll sure do that, Larry. You kind of like that young lady, don't you, son?"
"Like her? Oh, Pop. Oh, Pop."
"Well, we better say goodnight here, Larry. I don't want Uncle Walter to see you."
"Do you think 3 weeks is long enough for a fella to be able to say he loves a girl? Academically speaking, of course."
"Oh, well, academically speaking, yes."
"Well, would you think it might be all right for the fella to say so even if the girl had an uncle that didn't like him? Academically speaking, of course."
"Well, of course, as long as we're speaking academically, I'd say if the uncle happened to be the girl's guardian, she couldn't do anything about marrying the fellow until she was of age. That is, if the fellow was thinking of asking the girl to marry him."
"Oh, he is. Of course he is. When will you be of age, Sylvia?"
"Oh, not for 2 years."
"2 years.
And, Larry, our booking will be up Sunday, and then we're going to Pittsburgh."
"Pittsburgh? Might as well be the North Pole."
"Oh, I know. Larry, if we could only convince Uncle Walter that you're a good reporter before we go, then maybe he'd see things more our way."
"Well, I'll see if I can think of something before tomorrow night. Good night, darling."
"Good night, darling."
I walked Sylvia to her corner, and then I started home. It was late. There were no people on the streets. A fog hung low, misting the buildings, changing the familiar shapes into diffused, frightening shadows. I began to walk faster, and then suddenly... "Someone call me?"
"Yes, Larry, I did."
"Oh, it's you, Pop. You gave me a scare. What are you doing out so late?"
"I was looking for you, Larry. I wanted to give you this newspaper."
"The Evening News? I read it already, Pop, but thanks."
"Happy New Year, Larry."
"Happy New Year, Pop."
"Good night. Don't lose that paper. Good night."
He was gone as quickly as he'd come. He just disappeared in the fog, leaving me with that newspaper in my hand. I put it in my coat pocket, and I didn't even think of it again until the next morning. I dropped into Hoag's Diner for my breakfast, and a guy I knew that happened to be out of a job asked for it.
"Hey, Larry, let me see your paper a minute, will you? I want to take a look at the want ads."
"Okay, Joe. It's last night, so..."
"That's all right."
"Morning, Larry. Well, it'll be this morning. Ham and eggs."
"No, it's a new year. I think I'll eat bacon and eggs this year, Frank."
"Right you are.
Say, Larry, this isn't last night's paper. It's today.
No, Joe. Today's evening news hasn't gone to press yet.
Here's your eggs, Larry.
Say, Frank, you got an ad in the paper for a waiter. Who do I talk to about the job?
We don't need a waiter. We got a waiter. This is Hope's lunch wagon, not the Ritz.
Well, then why have you got an ad in the paper for a waiter?
Let me see that ad. That's what it says, Frank. Wanted, waiter, Hogue's lunch wagon.
Well, it's a misprint. I'm telling you, we got a waiter.
Get out, you butterfingers! That's the last dishes you'll break here. You call yourself a waiter? You're a hod carrier. You're fired.
Fired, I quit.
And don't come back. Frank, take a dollar from the till and put an ad in the paper right away for a waiter.
A waiter?
An ad for a waiter.
We gotta have another man right away. Put it in the evening news.
Joe, give me that paper. I gotta get out of here. Give me that paper. Suddenly, I realized what Pop Benson had given me. By some miracle, last night he'd put into my hands tomorrow's newspaper. Here was my chance at fame and fortune. I went back to the office and spread the paper out and studied it. Then I went in to see the boss. Mr. Gordon, who's covering the Melba concert at the Opera House this afternoon?
Garrett, since when are you the music critic?
I've got a tip that there's going to be a big story break there this afternoon. Some bandits are going to hold up the box office. It's going to happen at 2:10. I can be back with the story by 2:30. You can set up the headlines right now. Bandits steal cash at Opera House while Melba sings. I'll be back as soon as it's over.
Stevens, come back here. Oh, that boy is crazy.
Good afternoon, Mr. Gordon.
Oh, hello, Inspector. Anything wrong?
Plenty. There's been a hold-up at the Opera House.
Hold-up? A hold-up? Hold the press. Copy, boy. Copy.
Yes, sir.
Send Larry Stevens in right away. Is he here?
Yes, he just came in, sir.
Stevens tipped me off this morning that this was going to happen, but I didn't put much stock in it.
Oh, Stevens tipped you off, did he?
You want me, Mr. Gordon?
Yes. Did you cover the Melba concert?
Yes, sir.
Have you written that story?
Yes, sir. Here it is, sir.
Shall I take it, sir?
Yes. Have this set up in paragraphs. Break down page one. Make it a two-column spread. Come on. We'll shoot it through. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Gordon.
Say, Mr. Stevens, Mr. Gordon tells me that this morning you said this robbery was going to take place.
That's right, I did.
Just how do you happen to know so much about it?
Well, I had some information.
Uh-huh. Maybe you don't realize it, but you're in a bad spot. Now, look, you better come clean. Where'd you get your information?
Well, you won't believe me, but I read it in the newspaper this morning.
Oh, you did? What newspaper?
Today's Evening News.
Do you expect anyone to believe that?
No. I find it very hard to believe myself, but it's true. You see, I wanted to marry Sylvia, and her uncle said I should have security and a bank account, and I said I wished I could see tomorrow's paper, and Pop Benson got it for me. If you'll just ask him.
All right, son, you had your chance. You better come down and think it over at headquarters.
Oh, now look.
Come on, Stevens.
I am not a happy man. I am not a happy man.
In just a moment, we'll bring you the second act of It Happened Tomorrow, starring Ralph Bellamy. First,
use Colgate Toothpowder.
Romance. What is romance? Why, romance is the gold currency in the pocketbook of love. It's the glory and the sparkle of love. But beware, a little breath of trouble can dull the sparkle. So take care that this little breath of trouble, unpleasing breath, won't ruin your romance. Remember this. Scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. So the thing to do, of course, is brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. And as for cleaning your teeth, no dentifrice at any price will clean your teeth more quickly and thoroughly. Remember the name, Colgate Tooth Powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate Tooth Powder.
Now for the second act of It Happened Tomorrow, starring Ralph Bellamy as Larry Stevens. We pick up the story a few hours later, Larry sitting despondently in jail after being cross-examined by the police. As he sits there, he hears a voice outside. and he runs to the small barred window and peers down at the street. He can barely see the shadowy figure through the fog.
Harry.
Pop. Pop Benson.
It wasn't worth 10 years of your life, was it, Larry?
It's all over for you. Where have you been?
Just taking a vacation, my boy.
I'm going half crazy. Did I meet you last night or did I dream it? Did you give me a newspaper?
Didn't do you any good, did it, Larry?
I'm in a jam, Pop. Nobody believes me. I can't get out of here.
Oh, you'll get out any minute now. It says here you told the police where to pick up the bandits.
Don't tell me that's tomorrow's evening news.
That's right. I brought it for you, Larry.
What does it say about the holdup?
It says here they made an arrest in the morning at the Union Bank. That'll be 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. The police were waiting at the bank when the bandits got there. You wrote this story, Larry. You've got your byline again. Here, let me poke the paper through the bars. Good night, Larry.
Pop. Pop Benson, don't go. I've got to talk to you.
You don't need me now, Larry. All you have to do is tell the police where to make the arrest, and they'll let you go. Good night, Larry.
Pop! Pop! Pop Benson, wait!
You hollering for me, Larry?
No, I was just... wait a minute. Sure, I was hollering for you, Inspector. I'm going to tell you where you can get those bandits.
Uncle Walter, please be reasonable.
I am being reasonable. You're not going to marry this cub reporter, Sylvia. Well, this cub, what do you think you live on?
Well, I make $22.75 a week.
No. Absolutely, positively, irrevocably, unconditionally, no. He has to have a raise in the bank account before he'll ever have my consent to marry you.
All right, sir. I'll get the raise, and I'll get the bank account. I went home and spent the rest of the night walking and thinking. I thought I could promote the raise, but the bank account had me stumped. I did promote the raise, thanks to Pop. Mr. Gordon, I got a story. I got a scoop.
Is that it in your hand?
Yep, it's already go to press. But first, I got to have a raise.
Is it a good story?
You bet it is.
All right. From now on, you're making $25 a week.
Oh, gee, thanks, Mr. Gordon.
Now, what's your story?
The police just trapped those Opera House bandits at the Union Bank.
What?
I was there. It's an exclusive.
Give it to me. Copy, boy!
Later in the afternoon, the fellows accidentally gave me the lead I was looking for. They told me how to get my bank account. I'd been bragging that I could find out anything I wanted to know.
Say, Larry, if that's true, you could have more money than you'd know what to do with.
Yeah? How?
By picking all 5 winners at the racetrack tomorrow.
One more newspaper would do it. Just one more newspaper. I spent the rest of the day hunting for Pop Benson, but he was nowhere to be found. Finally, I went over to his house on Sacramento Street and sat down on the front steps, waiting. It was almost morning before he came home.
You waiting for me, Larry?
I sure have been waiting. Pop, I've been sitting here all night. Pop, will you give me one more newspaper?
No, Larry, I don't think I can give you another one.
Pop, please, you can't let me down. I'll never ask you for one again, I swear it. I've just got to know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Well, all right, Larry, I'll give it to you, but... won't do you any good.
All I want to know is what horses will win. Then I'll be rich and I can marry Sylvia and...
Here it is. But you better take a look at the front page first, Larry.
Larry Stevens, evening news reporter, was shot to death in the lobby of the St. George Hotel at 6:25 today, just before the evening news went to press. Pop! It couldn't be.
I told you you wouldn't want to see it, Larry. Good night.
Pop! Pop!
Good night, Larry.
I stood there, cold to the very marrow of my bones, my heart pounding. The next hours that passed were like a crazy nightmare. I went to see Sylvia and her uncle. I pleaded and threatened and made promises until at last he consented to let us get married. We were married at noon. I had the justice that married us draw up my will. Then we went to the racetrack, and I picked the winners. I won $60,000 for Sylvia. But that didn't do me any good either, because we were held up driving back to town, and the whole amount was stolen. I wandered into the news office a little after 6, determined I wouldn't be at the St. George Hotel at 6:25.
Yet, somehow, sure I would be. And there...
Oh, there you are, Larry. Say, did you hear about Pop Benson?
No, what about him?
The old man's dead.
Dead?
Yeah, they found him a little while ago at home. They figure he died about 3 nights ago, New Year's Eve.
Dead? 3 nights ago?
He was a great guy. Remember how he liked to play jokes on people?
Pop Benson. Dead.
Stevens, look at that clock. 6:10. How long do you expect to hold down your job?
Not very long, Mr. Gordon, if that's the right time.
Well, I'll give you another chance. I got an assignment for you. I got a tip that something big is going to break.
I know. At the St. George Hotel.
Well, you know everything, don't you? All right, get in a cab and get over there right away.
No, you don't. I'm not going near that place. Send someone else in that assignment or cover it yourself. I'm not going near the St. George Hotel. I ran out and got in the carriage. I told the driver to go anywhere as long as he went away from the St. George Hotel. I was in a cold sweat as we drove along. Suddenly he pulled to a stop and I looked out the window and...
Here you are. St. George Hotel, sir.
I told you to go away from the St. George Hotel.
Oh, is that what you said, sir? Must have misunderstood you.
I looked around in desperation. Then I suddenly saw a man go up the stairs of the lobby. And I recognized him as the man who had held us up and stolen our $60,000. I forgot about the story. I forgot that I was to die in the St. George Hotel at 6:25. I forgot everything except that there was my man and there was my chance to get my $60,000. I let out one yell and lit out after him. Stop! Thief! Stop! Thief! I chased him into the lobby. Others joined me, but we outdistanced him. Up 5 flights of stairs, out of the roof. And then my blood suddenly chilled. I caught a glimpse of the town clock, and the hands were at 6:25. I saw the man turn and raise his gun. Then a mighty silent darkness closed in around me.
Hey, Chief, I got it. I shot him. Right through the heart.
Okay, Robertson, any identification on him?
Yeah, here's his wallet. It says, Larry Stevens, Evening News. I better phone his paper right away.
Hey, wait a minute. What's the matter with this other guy over here?
Oh, the one that was chasing this Stevens? He's all right. He just fainted, Chief.
And that's exactly what had happened to me. The cops had come up behind me. They'd seen the man raise his arm to shoot, and they'd shot first. I'd seen the clock at 6:25, the man raising the gun, and I'd passed out cold. Of course, it was my wallet they found on the thief, and that's how the story got in the papers. The wallet was empty, but I didn't care. I walked into the newspaper office a little while later, so happy and so relieved, I was practically crying.
Larry Stevens, the best reporter I ever had. I'll never replace him. Never.
You won't have to, Mr. Gordon.
What? Stevens. Stevens, are you alive, boy?
Yes, sir, of course I'm alive.
What do you mean, being alive and spoiling a good story? The papers are already out. Evening News reporter dies heroically at scene of duty.
I can give you a better one.
Yeah? What?
Evening News reporter returns from the dead.
Hey, I'll take that, Stevens. I'll take that. Oh, and Stevens, there's a check for $500 in the office. I was going to set up a little monument for you, but I think I'll give it to you for a honeymoon instead. I understand you got married today.
Oh, golly, thank you, Mr. Gordon. Thank you. I'll see that the first edition is called Gordon Stevens. So it all turned out all right after all. I was $500 richer, and I had a better sense of values, and I had Sylvia. And once I'd found her that night and heard her say...
Oh, Larry, darling, you're so wonderful, and I'm so proud of you. Larry, I love you so much.
Once I'd heard Sylvia say that, I knew it didn't matter what happened tomorrow. I knew that whatever happened would be good, because she'd be beside me.
Oh, I love you very much, Larry. I'll love you forever.
You see, that's all you ever really need to know about tomorrow.
Colgate.
Young lady, why did he act that way? When you showed him the snapshots of you at the beach, why did he take them over to the window? I wonder, was it a little breath of trouble that made him move away? It's too bad if you should let that little breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, ruin your romance. I'll tell you what, brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. Scientific tests prove that Colgate tooth powder, in 7 cases out of 10, instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. So use Colgate tooth powder for all it's worth. Money can't buy a dentifrice that will clean your teeth better than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Ralph Bellamy, who starred in tonight's play, will soon be seen in Guest in the House, a Hunt Stromberg production. Next week, it's our pleasure to bring you Somerset Maugham's dramatic masterpiece of love and intrigue, The Letter, featuring Judith Evelyn. Until next Tuesday, when Colgate Tooth Powder's Theater of Romance will bring you The Letter, this is your host saying good night and wishing you love, happiness, and romance.
It Happened Tomorrow is a United Artists release whose current dramatic production is Tomorrow the World. In tonight's production, Pop Benson was played by Edgar Staley, Gordon by Frank Rettig, and Joan Allison appeared as Sylvia. The adaptation was made especially for this program by Gene Holloway. The music was composed and conducted by Ben Ludlow, and the entire production was directed by Marx Loeb.
Latest reports from doctors on the 14-day palm olive plant.
Louisville reports better complexions for 71%. Philadelphia reports better complexions for 86%.
In city after city, doctors tested the 14-day palm olive plant on all types of skin. And 2 out of 3 of all women tested got better complexions in 14 days.
What is this 14-day palm olive plan?
Wash your face 3 times a day with palm olive soap. Then each time take 60 seconds more to massage palm olive's lovely soft lather onto your skin as you would a cream. Then rinse. This cleansing massage with palm olive's lather brings your skin its full beautifying effect.
See what palm olive can do for your skin in 14 days. Remember, doctors prove palm olive's beauty results.
Ladies, it's no sacrifice, no hardship to save waste kitchen fat. In fact, it's one of the few war contributions that gives you a profit. Your butcher will pay you 2 red ration points and 4 cents for every pound of waste kitchen fat. With drastic new rationing regulations, now more than ever, you'll need the extra points. And ladies, if you could only see how your waste kitchen fat is used in making vital war supplies, you'd double your efforts to save every drop. You'd skim the soup. You'd scrape the drippings from the roasting pan. You'd save the suet from the chops. You'd strain off every precious bit of bacon grease. Today's grim war news makes fat salvage even more necessary. General Eisenhower is calling for more of everything it takes to defeat a clever and desperate enemy. You can help in your kitchen. So fill a tin and turn it in, and then fill up another. Judy Canova is coming back. Yes, folks, that wacky, lovable scatterbrain will be back on the air with all her old gang next Saturday night over another network. See your local paper for the station. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.